Welcome to Intellectual Intimacy, where we're having deep conversations with extraordinary people. This is Cabrina McLean, your host, and on this episode,
meet Jill and Oscar, a gay interracial couple who's married, happy, and teaches us how to have a healthy relationship, no matter if you're gay, straight, bi, trans, or queer. They were in a remote location, so I sent them a list of questions to answer. This is a beautiful story from a handsome, beautiful, and intelligent couple. Listen in as we learn from Joe and Oscar's love.
Hi, Cabrina. This is Joe and Oscar. We are honored to be part of your project, and we are going to answer the questions that you want us to answer for you. So question number one, how did Joe and I meet? Well, we met through a mutual friend at Pride Festival 2007. Next question, how did you know you were going to spend the rest of your life together? Well, that is a question that I don't think people really know if they're going to spend the rest of their life together when they meet someone. But they do, once they connect and they start getting to know each other, I think that's when they realize that that's their match and that's the person they want to get to spend the rest of their life together. What do you think, Joe?
If you're thinking on a physiological or emotional level, I guess your intuition will really speak to you more so than anything else, because your intuition will really tell you if this is the right person for you based off how you feel. So if this person actually compliments you in all ways possible and it feels like an actual match for you, you have an oversense of, I don't want to say peace, but that is the real emotion, is you feel completely at peace with yourself and who you're with, and they feel the same way about you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And perhaps we need to elaborate on how did we meet. We actually met, as I said, on Pride Festival 2007. And it was a funny way we met. Joe was actually in the car when I came and met my friend. So I thought he was, for some reason, I thought he was my friend's boy toy, if we want to call it that, for the weekend, or his friend for the weekend. And not knowing that Joe spoke Spanish, so I told my friend in Spanish, hey, is this your friend, your boy toy for the weekend? So little that I know, my friend turns back to me and says, by the way, he said no, and by the way, he speaks Spanish. So you can just imagine how embarrassed I was.
He turned the brightest shade of purple,
to say the least. Okay, so let's continue. Where are you from originally? Well, Oscar, meaning me, I am originally from Panama. Joe?
I'm originally from New York, the state, not the city.
Next question. What advice do you have for gay single men who want to commit, but they are afraid of people really knowing they are in a stable relationship? In some ways, that's how people come out. That is correct. What advice can we give to single men who wants to commit but they're afraid of people knowing they are in a relationship? Well, I think, what do you think, Joe?
I really think that if you truly want to be in a stable relationship, And how do people show? I'm sorry, I'm rereading the question. I think the stigma in society is that people need to have some sort of approval from someone other than themselves. I mean, if you truly want to be in a stable relationship with the person that you're with, your actions will speak louder than any verbality that you show. But I don't know. I think when it comes down to it, it's a conversation, if you are in a relationship, to have with your significant other or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whoever it may be, and see where you both fall as far as your level of commitment to each other and if you're on the same sheet of music when it comes to being in a committed relationship. And as far as outside people who associate with you or look at your relationship, it's really not their concern, because in the end, the only person that matters in the relationship is you and your partner when it comes to deciding if you are ready to be in a committed relationship.
That's correct, Joe. I mean, my advice, if I may, I would be, you know, number one, if you want to be in a committed relationship, make sure that the person that you are with also want to be in a committed relationship, because sometimes you think that you are in a relationship, but the person that you're with doesn't think that way. They think that, oh, we're just friends. We're not in a committed relationship. And you have to define yourself what committed relationship means to you. So for Joe and I, for example, when we decided to enter our committed relationship, we established our expectations. So I have my standards. I have my expectations of what I wanted in a relationship and what I was looking for on my next partner. And luckily, he was on the same page with me. So again, I think it's something that if you guys want to be in a committed relationship, it has to be a two-way street.
Exactly. And to answer the question, in some ways, this might be an opportunity for people to come out, and they might be fearful about coming out, friends or family. When Oscar and I met, I was not out to my family. And part of the expectation was we should not have to live in a closet, so to speak, or in fear. So, you know, it's one of those life lessons where you're not going to appease and make everyone happy in your life. It's not possible. But what you need to do is you need to do what is right for you, what makes you happy, what makes you prosper. So I knew full well when I came out to my family that I might lose some family members, I might just be disowned, or people might not talk to me ever again. Initially, I had my parents particularly would not talk to me after a while. But as time grew on and they saw how happy I was and how stable I was, even though they still don't condone it for religious reasons, they see that I'm happy and they want the best for me in our relationship. And they accept Oscar as part of the family.
True. So the thing is, I mean, you don't need validation from others. I want to say that again. You do not need validation from others. Whether it's family, friends, people who love you are going to love you for who you are. And that's the people that you want in your life. You want pluses, not minuses. Okay, on to the next questions. When in public, do people look at you, glance, or shift? How do you feel about that? And what did you do when it happens? Oh, I love that question. We actually don't care. Because again, whatever perception people assume or make about us, or about us gay and lesbians or the LGBT community, I mean, people have the rights to do, to think and assume whatever they want, as long as they don't, you know, they don't cross the line or disrespect us. But other than that, when we shift, we continue on holding hands, being who we are, displaying affection in public, because we earned that right. We fought for this right, just like anybody else.
Now, we're not saying to all those couples or those people in the LGBTQ plus community that you should just go out and be that way. We understand that in certain parts of our country that's looked down upon, and there's repercussions for having those types of affections displayed in public. Mm-hmm. We're able to do that because we live in an area where it's decriminalized, mm-hmm. and there's laws protecting our rights to have those types of displays. So those who are in those areas where it's not acceptable or it's against the law for whatever, for some reason or the other, just be cognizant of your area. But yeah, that's something that both you and your partner also have to be cognizant of too, because just be mindful of your surroundings.
Yeah, that is correct. Just be mindful of your surroundings, but don't let people push you back into the closet. I mean, and also be sensitive for your partner. If one partner likes to display affection, but the other one is a little fearful for whatever reason, just be acknowledge that, and you know, just give them time. That sometimes it takes time for them to feel comfortable. And don't use that as, oh well, you don't love me, you know, you're afraid to hold my hand, you're afraid to do this, because you don't know what the other person is feeling or what they have going through or in the past or present. So, okay, moving on to the next question. What makes your relationship special, different? What makes a relationship special?
I think the biggest thing is that we don't hide anything from each other, and we communicate about both good things and bad things, difficult things to talk about and easy things to talk about. We've, not to say that at the beginning of our relationship, we did not speak that way. No, we, like any other couple, there are certain topics like finances and social dynamics that we or one or the other had issues talking about. But over time, we've learned that, you know, this is an issue that's not going away, or it's going to change over time. Instead of worrying about how we feel about the situations, we look for pathways to resolve those situations, because in the end, we found out that arguing or getting upset over something that is beyond our control is fruitless to waste emotions on. So we've learned in those situations just to find a solution to move beyond those things. So I think that's probably the biggest difference that make us special, a difference that we are willing to talk about the tough matters and don't shy away from them.
Yeah, that is correct. What Joe said in the beginning, you know, when you engage in a relationship, people want to have like their independence. So I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you can't tell me what to do, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to remember that you are in a relationship. If you're in a relationship, then it's a relationship of two and not a relationship of one. So you have to make your relationship special in many different ways. And one of those ways, as Joe has mentioned, is talking about those difficult things: finances, friends, family,
politics,
religion. You have to face it once, because once you become a couple, and especially once you get married, then that is your family. So you have to make your family special, and you have to protect your family from everybody else.
And we're not saying that you have to lose your individuality. That's not what we're saying. You can still be an individual, have individual interest, and personify what you want to do in your life. But when it comes to your relationship, things that you both have to have to talk about and have to have an answer for, that's when you have to work together rather than be an individual.
Okay. On with the next question. What, Joe, why did you love Oscar? Why do you love me?
The biggest thing that attracted me to Oscar was his personality. Those who know us and know me particularly know that I'm overall a reserved, quiet, introvert individual. I enjoy the peace and quiet. I enjoy being by myself most times. So when I met Oscar, his outwardness and his frankness and his overall, I don't want to say childlike personality, because it wasn't childlike, it was his innocence as a personality. He lives life to the fullest and he enjoys life. He does not want things to be anything to drag him down. So why I love him is he's the exact opposite of who I am. And because of that, he brings out those strengths that I lack in or am weak in because of the type of personality I am. And I'm hoping that he has done the same. He's learned and adopted some of my personas throughout the years as well.
Thank you, babe. And why do I love Joe? Well, I mean, there's so many things I can say. And I mean, he already mentioned some of the things, like, yeah, our opposites attract. He is definitely the opposite of me. I think, as they say, you know, are you my yin or am you yang?
You're my yang.
I'm his yang and he's my yin. So I lived more outgoing. My personality is more
extroverted.
I'm extroverted. I love people. I love being around friends and family. I like to enjoy life. I like when we laugh. I like when we when we fight, because then there is
the side of me you don't usually see.
The side of him that I don't usually see him, which then I don't know. It just kind of brings me back to reality. but there's so many reasons why I love him that.
Besides cooking for you?
Besides him being a good cook. So we are each other's opposite. And I think that's what makes this relationship balance between the two of us. All right, on to the next questions. Stereotypes of what happens in a gay/same-sex couple's household. Can you share the culture inside your home? Okay. So that's an easy one.
There's really no stereotypes. There's really no stereotypes in our home. We live and function just like any other family that I'm aware of, at least. I think the one big difference is that there's a continual barrage of both English and Spanish being interchanged between him and I, our family, and particularly his mother. And because his mother, and I think that's the biggest difference, is his mother lives with us and she loves us. And she, it's actually quite funny, because whenever she gets into an argument with Oscar, she usually takes my side in the argument, because she knows it's just one of those things where she can kind of twist the knife in his side, saying, well, I'll just like my other son then.
True. Well, whatever stereotypes people may have when they see it on TV, I mean, just remember that's just TV. You make your own culture. You make your own rules in your households, in your home. So us, we do the same thing a regular couple would do. I mean, We take care inside the house. Somebody take care inside the house. Somebody take care outside the house. We both cook, but he cooks the most. He and my mother likes to cook the most. He likes that. I like other stuff in the house. I'm more ADD, as he calls me, because I like things in order. And that includes inside and outside. So
if you're talking about specific tasks or specific assignments that that couples will do when it comes to maintaining and taking care of the house, I generally do the cooking and do maintain the outside gardens and the outside of the house, whereas Oscar would normally do the clothes, because just like him not wanting to cook, I don't want him to burn down the house when he cooks, just like he doesn't want me to shrink his clothes if I do the laundry. Because if that's the case, then it gives him more reason to go out and get more clothes, and I don't want that.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, we both take the trash out on, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday's trash out. If he doesn't take it, I'll take it out. like he said, you know, I like the clothes folded in a certain way. I like our closet be organized by color patterns. Call me ADD, but I think it's easier for the two of us to get to our clothing and shoes and stuff. So just like
any couple inside of their home, they do things that cater to their strengths.
Correct. That's exactly correct. You said it right, babe. Thanks. Okay, our next question is, when did you realize that you have to let some people go in your life because you marry in a stable relationship? That's a great question. So we have to let go a few, including family and friends. Let's start with family. So some of our family members have taken advantage of us, and that's something that I don't tolerate. Just the fact that if you open your house, your
generosity
to a family member, and they see it as an opportunity to take advantage of you, then that family member doesn't appreciate who you are as a family member. And if a family member doesn't appreciate you, then what can you expect from someone who's not a family member or a relative? So in situations where we have to let family members go is they have stolen from us. They have taken advantage of us by disrespected us. They have, you know, I have to install cameras because these people were lying to us. And I say, you know what? I'm not a child. Nobody's going to lie to me and take advantage of us in our own house. So I did what I have to do. So if you had to put cameras in your house and prove to your partner, to your family, to your spouse, to your husband, to your wife, whomever, that he or she is either on your side and protect your marriage, because now you are a family. You know, you have to do what you have to do. And if you have kids, then especially you have to make sure that you protect your family. So we have had people that ask money from us, and they think, oh, well, because you have a nice house, you have nice jobs, and you don't have kids, you know, this money, you don't need this money. That's not the case. When people deceive you and they take advantage of you, it's, you know, you have to make a decision if you want to continue, allow them to do that to you, or you say, you know what, enough is enough. If you don't respect yourself, then they will not respect you.
That's very true. And it's the same thing with friends and acquaintances. We've actually had to let a lot of friends and acquaintances go as far as friendship, because there's been a couple instances in our past where we've actually had friends who were vocally jealous of how stable our relationship is, how much we love each other, that one of them actually was trying to cleave, put a, what do you call it? Split us apart by falsifications and assumptions, you know. And as a couple, we, when we heard this, we sat down, talked to each other, asked not just so much clarity, but what do we do with this person? Because
you just cut it out. You cut out the person.
In life, in general, there's always going to be a toxic person. And your relationship is defined on who you associate with and who you decide to make relationships with in life. If you decide to keep around people who are toxic, whether they're friends or family, it's going to seep into your relationship as well. It's going to personify in your relationship. So if you're looking for a relationship that is free of drama, that is balanced and peace and at peace, if it means cutting out toxic people, whether that be friends or family, you're going to have to do that for not only your own health, but for the health of your relationship.
Yep. And that is correct, husband. That is absolutely correct. So you, my friends, you have to, you know, you have to make a decision sometimes whether you want toxic people in your life or not, and whether what family is going to get upset at you, some of your friends. If they understand you, they will be on your side. If they're not, then you know what to do. I don't know, and honestly, I don't know why people, these friends were jealous of us, because we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. Everything that we have now, we have worked so hard to be where we are. But back then, I mean, the only thing that we had was our love and our jobs. So, okay, moving on to the next question. What's next for you? So what's next for us?
Retirement?
Well, we're far from that, but I think next for us is continue to be happy. I mean, we have few ideas of how we want to, already planning for retirement, where we want to live, things like that. So planning for the future, and again, continuing to maintain a happy and healthy relationship.
And that's right. And, you know, and that's something that people tend to overlook, whether you're in a gay, lesbian, or straight relationship. People don't plan for the future. And I think it's important for every couple to once in a while sit down and discuss a future plan, or fine tune or adjust your future plans, because, you know, that's the only way that's one of the ways that you guys can figure out where we are, where you guys are at in your relationship, if you're on the same page, and what goals you're both are striving for.
Okay, so our next and last question is, what advice do you have for other gay married or couple? I don't want to sound like we're experts in marriage or being, you know, or coupleship, but if we were to give you an advice as a married couple or as a gay married couple, to any gay married couple or any just couple in general, I would say, number one, build a foundation of trust, communication. I think those two are very, very important to have a healthy relationship. If you don't have a good foundation where you trust each other, where you are, for example, so Joe and I knows each other's password for our phone. And that's mainly because we don't have anything to hide. Also because if there's any type of emergency where something is in my phone or in his phone, I can go and get it. So if you feel like you have to hide something from your partner, then that will crack your foundation, because then it will plant the seed, like, okay, if you're hiding this from me, what else are you hiding from me? And that can grow into disrupting your marriage or your relationship. So I think if we were to advise you something, is just have fun, but trust each other, communicate with each other, and be honest. I mean, I think if you put all those ingredients together, you will, I mean, those are the keys, in my opinion. That's what has worked for us. And we're happy. I mean, we make decisions together. We don't make decisions individually. We don't make decisions, okay, by the way, I make this decision because I think it's the best for us. We sit down, analyze the decision, and we make the decision. If the decision goes wrong, then we know that we both make the decision. It wasn't like, well, you made the decision and then you told me. So I think that's one of the advice, or the few advices that we can give you, as far as being in a happy and stable relationship.
And I agree. And I think the one thing I'd add on to that is knowing when and how to compromise. A lot of people in relationships believe that their opinion, their dreams, their wants trump their partner's. And that's not the case. Sometimes your ability to compromise and willing to compromise not only moves the relationship forward, but also shows that you're able to work together with your partner, and your partner will see in return that, okay, for example, we're compromising right now with Oscar going to get his master's in counseling, and we understand right now that he might have to leave his job in order for him to fulfill his practicum in order for us to get his license. We understand that we're going to have one income if that's the case. And we understand that.
So we're making arrangements.
We're making arrangements.
Yeah. So we're making arrangements to make this happen. But, you know, things like that are, you know, compromising. I think compromising is one of the things that I see sometimes that is difficult for couples to, to follow through or to adhere to. So to accept. So there you have it. That's our best advice for everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Cabrina, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Joe and Oscar, for this candid and transparent conversation on gay marriage, love, trust, relationships, and communication. Please send us your feedback at Cabrina@coachcabrina.com. Thank you.